Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Voice of Olympus, I'm proud to bring you Living Labyrinths with Athena Dugan. Greetings and welcome, Athena. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you, Hercules. I hope you are well.
I am well, and I'm looking forward to your show, so I'll be here in case you need me.
Great. Great. Thank you. So, tonight we have guest Sue MX Eggert. And Sue is a native of Illinois, and she moved to Sunset Beach, North Carolina in 2012. Sue is a retired ordained minister in the Disciples of Christ, which is a Christian church. And she was introduced to labyrinths in the 1990s by a spiritual mentor. The Chart-style labyrinth was her first labyrinth introduction. And from there, she had a passion for labyrinths. She took a 10-day workshop in 2003 with Robert Ferrer, right, at the Cathedral of Chartres in France. And that was with a focus on the labyrinth that's in the cathedral there. And she, going forward, she discovered that the pastors at her church, Seaside United Methodist Church, had an interest in the labyrinth as well. So she began to do some labyrinth work with the Canvas Labyrinth that they had. She chaired a ministry team that oversaw all the work of getting this labyrinth funded and constructed. And it was in 2018 when they dedicated a labyrinth to their church. And it's also the place where Sue was married on this labyrinth in May 2019. So as Sue's journey continues to grow with the labyrinth, she is evolving, not only working with adults, but she's evolving to introduce the labyrinth to children. And tonight, I want to thank Sue for being here, because we're going to talk about her evolving and development with the labyrinth. So thank you for being here tonight, Sue. How are you?
Well, thank you, Athena, for asking me to be here. I'm really good. I'm excited about the labyrinth, and I'm excited about being here to talk with you about my journey on the labyrinth.
Great. Yeah, because it's interesting how everyone comes to the labyrinth, and sometimes it just, like, falls right in your lap. And it's interesting that the labyrinth came to you through your church. So before that, had you even heard of the labyrinth, or was that your very first introduction?
Oh, that was my very first introduction. In fact, it was kind of a funny introduction. I was a person that I kind of wanted to know what I was getting into. And so I actually stood on the outside of the room and looked through the window and watched what people were doing before I would go in and walk it. And so it took me a couple times watching before I would go in and walk. And now I look back on that and think, Sue, you silly person, you don't know what you were missing. Because when I walked in, I discovered it was actually the most wonderful spiritual calming, peaceful experience I could have had. And that's just what actually drew me to the labyrinth almost immediately. It was just, it all of a sudden just became a passion of mine.
Oh, wow. That's great. So what made you want to take that workshop? Was it because was it something that could further your participation in creating these labyrinths, or was it, part of the offering that you were going to bring to your church?
Well, I think for me at that time, I was in a position in my job that I didn't have a, I had a home church, but I was not in my home church very much. I was in other churches, but I wanted to learn more about the labyrinth, and I had a 3-month sabbatical, and so part of that sabbatical was spent at this workshop, and I was introduced to it by John Ritter, who said, "Why don't you go to this?" And so I did, and I learned a lot about the labyrinth, and I learned a lot about the cathedral, and came back wanting to do and learn even more and see how it could be used more in churches, and since that was my background, and see where it could be used and to help people grow in their own spiritual journeys, but also to help them grow in the struggles that they experience in their lives, because one of the things I was dealing with was some issues that were hard for me emotionally, and I could deal with those as I walked the labyrinth too, and I wanted other people to have those kinds of experiences.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, when you work with the labyrinth for your church, did you work with it as a counselor as well? Because sometimes there's a, or as a spiritual director, or how did you use it? Did you use it as a ritual source, or did people just come to walk it?
Well, when I really didn't get to use it much in churches until I retired and got down to Sunset, Sunset Beach and to Seaside. And what I did then was I was more the facilitator of it. And when we had major walks, I tried, particularly in the beginning, to have one or two clergy people available after the walk in case there was some emotional issue or someone needed prayer, that there would be someone there. I did not do spiritual direction or spiritual mentoring, but I tried to make people aware that there were people they could go to if they felt they needed that kind of help.
All right. Wow. So what do you think about that? Because it seems sort of like it's a fine line sometimes to walk the labyrinth and have these emotional or psychological experiences. And have you ever had the instance where you really need to calm someone down or really get them to focus on what their journey may have meant?
I have a couple times, and a lot of times what I do with that is I listen and just let them talk. And if they can't talk or don't want to talk, then I also encourage them to journal. 'Cause I always, when I do a workshop, and that's why we're walking the labyrinth, or if they're just walking the labyrinth, I also encourage them to bring some paper to journal so that after they've walked the labyrinth, they can journal what they're feeling and what they're thinking and where they are in their process of working through whatever issue they might be working on, so that they can work out some of those feelings. And then after that, if they feel like they need to talk with someone, I try to give them suggestions of people they can talk to. I've only had two times where somebody has been really so emotional that they could not finish the walk. I just have sat with them for a while and let them kind of calm down and at that point just prayed with them and let them actually pull themselves together and check with them before they leave and encourage them to find someone to talk to. That's and those are the times when I really wish I had clergy people available, but I don't always have clergy people available. So,
right.
But not all walks are all that emotional. In fact, one of the things that I tell people as they get ready to walk, to make a walk on the labyrinth, is don't expect every walk to be an emotional high, because
right.
It's not always going to be.
That is true. That is so true. And it's funny because I feel like a lot of people, they don't understand that you can't walk their journey, or you can't make them have an experience, because the experience is within. And the experience isn't going to always be this happy journey, or this like elation or something. And it's interesting when the emotion comes out after the walk, and to see how someone welcomes that change that happens, or that occurrence. So, yeah. So do you think it's necessary, like as a facilitator, like I know I found out as a facilitator, or I feel as a facilitator, it's really important that you be with that person as they walk. Not that you're walking with them, but you at least, you're almost like a signpost so they can know that you're there as they're walking, just
right.
in case that
mm-hmm.
happens. And mm-hmm. it's so funny when well, not funny. So when you started facilitating walks, how was it for you? Was it something, were you nervous, or what made you, when did you realize that it was really important that you help people get through the labyrinth and get an experience? Was this, I would imagine that it might have been before your training, because you saw that there was a need for it.
Right.
Yeah.
I did a lot of facilitating or getting people through labyrinths before I ever went to Lauren Archer's training. And I learned very quickly the need to be present. For the people walking the labyrinth, that I couldn't just say, okay, you can go now, that I had to be present for each person walking that labyrinth. And that was something that was sometimes difficult for me, because I couldn't keep up. Well, when we were doing it on the canvas labyrinth, it was an 11 circuit labyrinth. At the church,
oh, wow.
Now with the concrete labyrinth, it's only a 7 circuit, so we can only let so many people on it now at a time, and so it's easier
wow.
for me to stay with the people.
Mm-hmm.
But when we had 11 circuit, we could let more people on it. I find it's a little easier to stay with people when they're walking it now. The hard part now is sometimes when people are walking it, I don't always get up there in time for them when they start. And then I have to really catch myself. But I think that the being present is the key for me. It's just always being present with them as much as I can naturally do.
Now, what about, like you said, about not always being there for when they start. Now, does that... how does that affect how... you interact with them during their walk or after that walk, does that mess up anything, or do you invite them to walk again, or what happens when you miss the beginning?
Oh, Athena, that's a tough one. I don't ask them to walk again. I just try to catch up with them as best I can. That's the best I can say at this point.
Yeah. Well, you have a, there's a success story that you have mentioned about one of your labyrinths. And I would imagine that this helps shift a change in how they walk as well. That you have a minister of music who would bring the music to the labyrinth, or bring the choir out to the labyrinth,
mm-hmm.
and this would happen every
mm-hmm.
spring. Would that happen like for the welcoming of spring, or would it just happen like just through the spring season?
She would do it just in the spring season. She talks about the labyrinth with the children. And this is children four years old through about fourth grade. And they're pretty active little children. And they paint rocks and put words on them, like peace and love and faith and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring them with them to the labyrinth. And I don't get involved with this because she's got it under control, and she
okay.
really works with those kids. And I just watch them, and she brings them out, and they are as silent as they can be. And you would never know that the way they act in the choir. And
wow.
they come out, and she takes them, and they stop at the beginning of the labyrinth, and she leads them silently through the path of the labyrinth into the center. And they sit down, and they leave their rocks there, and they have a prayer. And they sit there for a few minutes. She gets them up. She leads them out silently back to the out of the labyrinth. And then when they get back to the little porch area that we have there, she allows them to talk. And then she takes them in, and they debrief kind of what their experience was. And I mean, those four-year-olds don't say a word, not a word. And they're the most active children in the choir. And then these kids stay in the choir, and they do that every year. So if they are being introduced to that labyrinth every year. And she just loves the labyrinth. And mm-hmm. for every walking event we have, she comes to the labyrinth and walks. And she just wants to make sure those children have the experience of the labyrinth. And it's phenomenal the way she works with them and explains it to them. And those rocks then are left in the center. And we have a basket of rocks that we leave at the entrance of the labyrinth because we put rocks and stones there in case people want to carry them in, representing a burden or a concern they have. And pray about that and leave them in the center with God and come back out so they can leave the rocks there for people to take in. So that's their gift to the labyrinth. And they understand that, and they do it every year. And they've been doing it now for 3 years. And it's a special, special gift for the children and for the labyrinth. It's just phenomenal. So we at least have one group of children that's being introduced to the labyrinth every year.
Wow. Wow, that sounds great. Shoot. Is this like when you do your labyrinth walking, is it you do your walks mainly for adults? And is it a program that you do, or is it just something that's included in the in the services for the day. How do
no,
you...
it's not included. It's not included in the services today. We do special walks. The very first walk that I did at the church was with one of the canvas, when we borrowed the canvas labyrinth. And I really wanted to introduce it to the church in a special way. So I did a workshop talking about what the labyrinth is and some of the history and how you walk the labyrinth and things like that. And then we went down to the fellowship hall and walked the labyrinth. I had candles around the labyrinth, and it was at night, so we had the lights down low. And I had a harpist come and play. And that's how I introduced the labyrinth to them. So how I introduce the labyrinth generally is to do the workshop and then go and walk the labyrinth. I also do special walks. Like when Ukraine was invaded, I put a peace pole in the center, and then I had people come to the labyrinth at 1 o'clock, and we all got into the center of the labyrinth and read a poem about peace, had prayer, and then people walked the labyrinth. On Ash Wednesday, people could come anytime we had the labyrinth open. And I had a pot with charcoal burning in the middle. And people could walk the labyrinth. And then when they got in the middle, we had a piece of paper, and they could write on there a sin or something they wanted to turn over to God and write it on there and then watch it burn and then leave the center.
Wow.
But I think the most special one that I did, Athena, was the one when the children in Uvalde was killed. And that was a spontaneous event. We just, within days, set that up and publicized it in the community and the church. And I used a poem that was sent to us from somebody from PLS. And it has in there the image of broken hearts. And so I have a heart with a labyrinth in it. And so I made a picture of that, and then I cut one in half. And I gave him that poem with a full heart, and then I gave him a half a heart. And people could walk in and leave the heart in the center, the half a heart in the center, showing God's love will mend that broken heart, or they could take it with them as a reminder that God's love is going to mend that heart. And
oh, wow.
People came, and they could do whatever they wanted to with the heart. They could take it with them, or they could leave it. But the crowning point was the last people to walk the labyrinth that day was a Hispanic family. And they came in as a family. About half of them did not speak English, but they knew why they were there. And I explained to them, and those that could speak English explained it to the rest of the family. They walked in as a family to the center, and they, as a family, they shared in prayer together. Some of them left their hearts, some of them took them with them, and they came back out, and they were in tears, and they were so appreciative of having the opportunity to do that. It just broke my heart. It was just so special. And
wow,
that was worth the whole event, because they had not had an opportunity to go anywhere to express their sorrow or their grief for what was happening in Uvalde. And that was one place that they had to come. And that's probably the most special walk I have ever done, because of the way it touched their lives, you know. And it was a very spontaneous walk. It wasn't planned or anything ahead of it. It was just spontaneous. And
wow.
So that tells me we can walk with families, we can walk with children, we need to just be more intentional about how we do it.
Right. This is true. Well, and when you have like these spontaneous and temporary events, I think that's when sometimes you can develop or you can gain a massive crowd and stuff and things like that. So how was it when you did that walk? Did you have quite a crowd or?
No, we didn't have a lot of crowds. We didn't have a big crowd, but we touched the lives of the people that came, and that's what mattered to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It meant a lot to the people that came.
Yeah, the labyrinth is very giving. It allows you to take what you need, and it gives whatever you need. That's what I seem to find. Yeah. That's the inner wisdom that I get from it. Yeah, wow, so that's wonderful. So do you advertise a lot of your walks?
Yes.
Of them? You
yes.
do?
My point now is that we are the best-kept secret in Sunset Beach. And so we need to be open. We want this to be an outreach ministry as well. And so we advertise in the paper. And we advertise and send out notices to all the churches. And sometimes we put, depending on what we're doing, we put up posters around town to say this is a special walk for something. We don't do that all the time, but we always do the churches in the paper. And it hasn't provide the Uvalde thing brought in more from the community. In fact, it brought in more from the community than it did from our congregation. So my focus for 2023 is to do more outreach into the community and do more work with programming inside the church to get more people interested. I think one of the things we didn't do well enough when we were building the labyrinth was education. And so I'm needing to do more education in the church and do some different things to get more people interested in it in the church, because we're a retirement community. And so we don't have a lot of children, but we get a lot of children for Vacation Bible School. We have a lot of children for a literacy program that we do in the community. And we're starting getting more children, so they're starting up Sunday school again after COVID. And so we've got the potential of it there. And so there's got to be some more education around this so we can really tap into all of this. So that's part of what's going on.
That's great. So tell me a little bit more about that, because that's where you're evolving from teaching adults to creating a program to bring the community together and to work with that, to develop a program for the younger people in the community. How is it going, or have you started it?
Well, I put in a budget for it. Let me put it to you that way. I got my foot in the door for Vacation Bible School this year, which is the first time in 3 years I've been able to do that.
Congratulations.
And that happened. You know, that happened because we have a fall festival, which is open to the community every year in the fall, and we put it with Trunk or Treat, so it's Halloween. Mm-hmm. And the person in charge didn't think that that was an appropriate venue for the labyrinth. Well, I'm going to very nicely disagree with her about that.
Right.
But I have to go with her decision. I can't counter her decision.
Right.
But her way to do that was to offer me a place in Vacation Bible School this year. So I'm going to take that. So getting into Vacation Bible School, we may not have a lot of children in the church right now, but we have a large attendance in Vacation Bible School. People from the community, grandchildren from our people in the church, choir children that are not always members of the church. We had a large group of children in Bible school this year. So I can tap into that. We have a literacy program that's done by the Duke Foundation, funded by the Duke Foundation. That's for children who finished third grade that still need help with reading skills. And that's a six-week program that we provide. And we have them all day. Now, during COVID, we only had them half a day. But we're back now to having them all day. And in the afternoon, it's free activities. They get to choose from they don't choose. They have things like science projects. They have swimming. They have all kinds of things. And I'm going to try to get the labyrinth in as one of those activities.
Oh, wow.
They're going to start Sunday school up again for the children. And I'm going to try to get one Sunday every 6 weeks that I can have them for a while on the labyrinth. And so
those are my
plans for getting the children introduced to the labyrinth during 2023. I've got put in my budget some things that Janice Lewis gave me some ideas on our Zoom call the other day of things to do with the children. So I put in my budget some equipment that I'm going to need. And this is what's evolving at this point. I'm not so naive to think that it's going to be large numbers in the beginning.
Right.
I don't know yet. I would welcome some ideas on how to involve the community in that. Because all of this stuff, we do community. We get a lot of people from the community for Vacation Bible School.
Right.
It's select people for the literacy program. We don't have any choice over that. The literacy program is chosen. But I don't know how to do more community involvement for children's program. So I'm struggling a little bit with that.
Well, before we go on, I just want to say Janice Lewis, she's the president of the Labyrinth Society, and she also has a program called Peace Club in which she does a labyrinth program for the community, the local community in Chicago. And that's great. I would imagine she's a great resource for your program.
Yeah, she had all kinds of ideas of things to do with the kids, but they're there in a program that's already set. And I don't have them for several hours. I would have them. I don't know how to do that for. I can't get my head around that yet.
Wow. So basically, you're looking to have like a 1 hour or 2 hour session with the students, with the children.
I don't know, Athena, because we've got a concrete labyrinth. And it's in the sun.
So
that is a problem for us, particularly in the summertime. Because it's hot. That concrete gets hot.
Yeah.
And so I can only have them out there about 10, 15, 15, 20 minutes, and that's it, at a time. So I've got to, the programming has got to be put in that kind of a time schedule.
Right.
So I don't know how to, I don't know how to do that. That would mean a whole different kind of programming for the church. And
right.
I don't think I can ask them to do that right now.
Right.
Maybe in the future, but I don't think I can ask them to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to think more about that.
So how do the other people, like the adults, walk the labyrinth in the heat or in the sun?
A lot of them walk it early in the morning or in the evening, later, like at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, in the summertime. And we've got lights around the bottom of the labyrinth, around the edge. And so actually you could walk it pretty much at dusk and still be okay. So that, and in the fall and the spring, it's not bad. It's just the heat of summer down here is wicked. And so people don't walk it much during the day unless they're really staunch labyrinth walkers.
Right. You could fry an egg on the labyrinth, huh?
Almost.
Oh, no. Wow. So what about so the program that you're trying to approach to help you with your program, right, with your labyrinth program is STARS, right? That's is that a national program, right? Program for children, I don't know, who's four and up, who are in school?
It's not a national program. It's a program that we wrote grants for, and it's done through Duke, and we got the grants for it, and so it's done through an elementary school here. So we take the kids out of the third grade at that elementary school. We can take, I think, 16 children. And I think it's 16, may not be that many, who are making it through third grade, but they're just not the best they need to be on their reading skills. And so we have teachers that come in through the grant program and teach them reading and different skills in the morning. It's just like being in school. And then in the afternoon, that's all we did for 2 years because of COVID.
Right.
The first 2 years, or the first year, it was just like a regular school. In the afternoon, they did music and science projects and I don't know what all, the art projects, and they went swimming and all those kinds of things.
Right.
And then 2 years they just did it, but it's just locally. You have to have a grant to be able to do it. So it's just a local program.
Okay. What about, so children in the labyrinth, though, it's an opportunity for them to learn, too. It must do something for their right and left brains or how they learn as well, I would imagine.
Go ahead.
No, go on.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure what activities would be good because they're busy little kids. That's part of the reason why they're having some reading problems. And they need some time to be still and be quiet. And so I don't know whether that's part of what you do in the labyrinth or whether it's something that you're doing things to get them thinking about something, you know?
Right.
I need to do some research. I need to do some research on what kind of things are done in schools on the labyrinth.
Right.
Because I don't know.
Right. So I would imagine.
Have you got any ideas?
Well, I think besides children like to play, I mean, you can make the labyrinth like almost like a science project, you know, where they could count how many steps it takes to get to the middle, you know, and when they get to the middle, what they find in the middle, and, you know, or something like that. Almost make it like a mindfulness program for, like, children getting to the middle. Because when you give them something to do while they're doing something, it sort of gets their focus on, I don't know, I guess getting to the prize, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and, yeah. I mean, you know, kids, like, you know, how many big steps, or say, how many big steps can it take to get to the middle of the labyrinth, or how many small steps? You know, make it, like, fun and play for them, but at the same time, something that they can learn from, you know, or say, you know, one will go in and do five steps. The other will go in and do like 10 steps. How many steps you guys did together? I don't know. Maybe that's a little boring, but, you know, I think kids like to sort of have like a science project and like to solve something, but make it fun and you know, and I don't know, and colors and things like that, rainbows, or even, I don't know, I think there could be, like, lots of fun, like, reenactments, like, put someone in the middle and say, there's a little minotaur in the middle, you know, create a story around the myth, but make it fun, not scary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and Janice was talking about using scarves and or streamers, you know, and maybe there's a way to tie scarves or something together and see how many it takes to get to the middle, or do something like that that's colorful.
Yeah. And even, like, say if you had them sitting down, like, you can have a little pencil labyrinth and have them pick out colors that they want to make the circuits and stuff like that, or, you know, or and that'll, you know, help see, like, a little bit, like, what's on their mind, like, if they're taking, you know, during a purple circuit or something, or a red circuit, you know, or say, make a rainbow labyrinth, and how do you do it, you know?
That's an idea.
Kids are lots of fun. I know when I did a labyrinth, actually I just recently did some labyrinth, a labyrinth at this event, and I made it three circuit, and for some reason the kids were afraid to go in it, but they went in and they were running, and a lot of them said it was a maze because I made it out of hay. But just watching the kids interact with it, like, they were getting lost in the three circuit, and I said, just stay on the path and you'll be okay. And then when they got to the middle, they were like, yay, and then they just ran out. They didn't run back around the circuit. It was like, wow, it was interesting to see their reaction, because every year when I do this labyrinth, I sometimes do a different one, and just seeing the kids just trying to get to the middle, that's you just tell them to walk the path to the middle, and they make that their goal. And I think that's really, really interesting, because you don't have to explain too much to the children. They sort of inherently go there, and I don't know. So it's that curiosity, I think, that children have. So you can sort of play around with the labyrinth in that way. I think kids are really, really like the playing around.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fun, because the labyrinth is kind of like fun. I mean, and another one that I would do, like on Halloween, like I created a spider labyrinth, and then I had a labyrinth where it was just a spiral. I just made it one huge spiral because I'm like, kids love running in circles. And it's like the minute I set it down, what did they do? they were having so much fun, and I was like laughing my head off. I'm like, you know, kids love running in circles, and it's fun when they see it's like a path. So
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know. So use the ideas or not, but you know, those are just some fun things like that I observe when I've done my labyrinths, how kids interact with them, and you know, how I think like kids might, I don't know, like some things or what I like when I was a kid, you know.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Well, those are good ideas. I'll have to add those to my list.
Yeah. And, oh, I bet you'll have a successful program. It sounds really nice, though, because you have the community and they're coming out to do your walks. And even, like, the adults, they bring their children to walk with them as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what I was thinking was I'd really like to do a family walk.
That'll be nice.
Just bill it as a family walk.
Yeah.
A family can be two. And see what happens. Because we're getting some younger families in the church, and we've got families all through the community. Sunset Beach and Ocean Isle Beach are just growing like mad. They're building houses like you wouldn't believe around us.
Oh, wow.
And it's just unbelievable what's going up around us. And I have the feeling there's going to be some young families moving into town. And we've got some young families that have joined the church. So I'd really like to see if we could start tapping into some of that, and or using some of the young families that have joined. My problem is that I don't go to the worship service that they go to. Most of them go to the 9:30 service, which is a blended service, and I go to the 11 o'clock, and so I don't see a lot of them. And I need to sit down with one of the pastors and say, okay, who are some of these families that I can get in contact with, you know, and send them a special note and say, hey, this is here and this is what I want to do, and invite them to an event, you know.
Oh, nice.
And see what, put the flag up the flagpole and see who salutes. And, they surely have a list if they're working on getting the Sunday school started. So I just may have to do that soon.
Yeah, and the fact that your church, right? They have the permanent labyrinth, right? Do you guys ever put like flyers up, say come to the 11 o'clock walk or something like that?
Well, I haven't thought about doing one during church. That hadn't crossed my mind.
No.
I could do that since they go at 9:30.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah. You know what's fun, too, which I noticed, like, I went to my cousin, her church, and I remember just sitting after the service, I'm like, they were there all day, and I'm like, they had these kids sitting in the basement, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, they can have a labyrinth down here. They have these kids sitting around, and I was like, But unfortunately, my cousin moved, and I didn't go back to the church, and I don't actually remember where it is. But it's between those times Like, that's the best time you can get, like, a lot of the families and the children to walk while they're waiting between services or even waiting for, you know, to have a little light snack in between.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, even though, like, it takes a little longer to walk a labyrinth, but at least it'll be open for those who decide to go to the, you know, if they decide to go to the 11 o'clock service or the 1 o'clock service, the labyrinth will be there for open for a walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Cool. Do you, your pastors, they sound like they're involved with you with the labyrinth as well. So are there, is there a group of you, or do you have a docent that you work with when you
do
the labyrinth?
Well, I don't know about my pastors, to be quite honest with you. We just had a new pastor, being a Methodist, that just got transferred in. I don't know about him, and I've got to get him on board. We have another new one that didn't know what a labyrinth was.
Oh, wow.
And the one pastor that's been here for a while, she's the one that told me that it wasn't appropriate for the festival and trunk or treat. So I've got a little work to do. But I have a ministry team that works with me. And while I was sitting here waiting for the podcast to start, I was going through and thinking about some people that I need to increase the people on the ministry team and solidify it a little bit. And I've got some really good people, but the really good people I had were on the ministry team that built the labyrinth. And after we got through with that, they said, "Don't you ask me to do anything again." And so I have not asked them to do anything again.
No.
And one of them would be so good on this committee, this team. And so I may ask her to be an ad hoc member.
Yeah.
Because she would be so good. We just need to kind of beef it up a little bit. And I originally started out with getting a couple people to help me, and then a couple of people to just kind of be my brainstorm committee, you know, to work with me for brainstorming. And that brainstorm committee ended up being my work team, too. And so I need to work that out a little differently. Mm-hmm. And so I have some help. I'm not in it all by myself. But I need to get the senior pastor, the lead pastor, on board with me. Because if I get him on board with me, the other new pastor that didn't know what a labyrinth was, he's so busy with everything else, he really doesn't care. And so I need to get him on board, too. And I'll just have to work with the one that's... The problem with the one that didn't think it was appropriate is she always calls it a prayer labyrinth. She never calls it a labyrinth. She always calls it a prayer labyrinth. So she sees it in a very narrow sense. And so... I'm pretty sure that's why she doesn't think it's appropriate. And so we need to have a little discussion about that. And I'll talk about that when I talk with her about Vacation Bible School. Because we're not going to have a prayer live at the Vacation Bible School. We're going to have some fun at Vacation Bible School.
Right, exactly.
I'm already excited about some of that.
So is the trunk... Or treat? Why do they call it trunk? What does the trunk stand for? The
car trunks.
When they say trunk,
car trunks. What happens is the people come in and decorate their trunks to their car, and the kids come in costume, and they do their trick-or-treating out of the trunks of cars, and people, that's how they do their trick-or-treating. Everybody dresses up with costumes, and the people have their treats in their trunk, and that's how the kids trick-or-treat.
Oh, wow. That's
so it's a lot safer.
It's a lot safer, yeah. Okay. You know what? I saw people doing that once, and I'm like, why are they getting stuff out of their trunks? And I didn't know, but that is a safer way to do trick-or-treating these years. And it's kind of sad, but it sounds like fun.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun because the adults all get dressed up too and just have a great time with the kids. And then they have games in the churchyard for the kids and cakewalk and pizza and all of that for the kids. And so that's what they do for the fall festival and trunk or treat.
Oh, great. So, wow, it's 9:55. Okay. We're getting very close to 10 o'clock. So let me ask you something, Sue. There could be some listeners in your area. So do you have any labyrinth walks coming up soon that they should know about? Or is there any way they can get in touch with you or come to your church for a walk?
We don't have anything coming up soon because of my accident, and I haven't been able to do anything.
Right.
But they can always email me. And that is S as in Sam, UEA 6271 @gmail.com. And I'll be glad to give them any information I have because I'm setting up my schedule now for 2023. And everything I do has to be put on the church calendar. So I don't have the church number right here with me.
Okay.
But it's Seaside United Methodist Church, Sunset Beach, North Carolina.
Nice.
And they can always call the church.
Right. Excellent. Okay. So that's good to know. So, well, at least we know, like, in the future, in the fall, you're going to have the fall festival with the trunk or treat, and if they want to get in touch with you, and maybe even they have some ideas for, like, a children's labyrinth or something that we can do or that you can do with children on the labyrinth. You know, there's tons of ideas. Yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine, she does a painting. I really can't explain it, but it's getting in touch with your higher energies where you paint and then you create a labyrinth or you walk a labyrinth. But it's a really interesting program. I should introduce you to her because she's also a member with the Labyrinth Society. So we're, you know, just like you and me. So we're throwing around ideas. And here we are with the Labyrinth Society. And what better way to connect with someone else that's involved, right?
Oh, that'd be super. Thank you.
We have around a minute left, Athena, to let you know.
Okay. So I want to thank Sue MX Eggert for being with us today, and you have her email if you like to email her with some ideas or suggestions that she can also help flourish her labyrinth work with the community and children. I want to thank everyone for listening tonight and thank Hercules. And if you would like to do an on handheld labyrinth walk with me, you can sign up at walkersofthelabyrinth.com, and that'll take you to my website, and we'll do a walk on September 23rd. And I want to thank you all again, and have a good night, and thank you, Sue, and we'll talk
thank you
real soon.
And thank you, Athena, and for a wonderful show, as always. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures, dear audience. Take care, everybody, and thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.